Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi-yo! Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I've got Jai who is four and Ali who is two. I also have a business baby, Your Birth Project, and if you're pregnant then you need to check Your Birth Project out. It is the online hypnobirthing course designed to help you create your best birth, and there are no fluffies. If you're turned off by the word hypnobirthing, you need to go and check it out. All of the tips are inclusive of all birth types, so it doesn't matter if you're planning a home birth, a hospital birth, a birth center birth, if you want drugs, you don't want drugs, if you're having 100 people there to watch you birth, or if you're just having your birth partner, it is inclusive of all birth types. So please do yourself a favor if you're pregnant and go and check that out. Today I am coming to you with an episode from Sophie, and Sophie is a lovely mum who I actually found on TikTok. I've been spending a lot of time on TikTok lately. I'm like down the deep hole of TikTok videos, but I feel like there's a lot of really good educational content on there, and it's become my platform of preference of late, which is interesting. But anyway, so I've connected with Sophie on there quite a while ago, and she shared recently her birth with her second son, Navy. He's about 8 months old now, but I remember her sharing all of the content from her birth, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have her on the podcast because I just love, like, that looks amazing. I need to hear about it. So she talks us through her two pregnancies and births. They're both very different. She's very honest about her parenting journey and her birth experiences and her postpartum experiences. She did suffer with postpartum anxiety and depression, so she talks us through that diagnosis. And yeah, I just think this is such a lovely episode. Sophie is such a lovely mum, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So make sure that you send me a message afterwards if you're listening to the episode. I'd love to hear from you at Kiwi Birth Tales on Instagram, at Your Birth Project on Instagram, or you can email me, Jordan with a Y, J-O-R-D-Y-N, at kiwibirthtales.com. Okay, I will love and leave you and let you jump into the episode. Enjoy.
Hey, Sophie. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Yay, I'm excited too. Amazing. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yes, of course. So I'm Sophie. I'm 32 years old. I live in Auckland. Before becoming a mum, I was an intermediate school teacher. Yeah, when Gray turned one, I didn't want to go back to work after my maternity pay. So I tried to work out what I could possibly do that could be like a little side hustle. So I started content creation, which was a real cool, like, creative outlet for me. So I started posting on TikTok, and yeah, I love it so, so much. It's a little side hustle, and I've recently reached 10K, which was a very exciting milestone.
Amazing.
Yeah. And obviously there's my fiance, Scott. I've been with him for 5 years. We were a very successful Tinder match.
Love it.
Yeah. So we have Grayson, who's 3 years old, and Navy, who is 9 months. Yeah, that's us.
Very cool. Yeah, I actually remember watching the birth, like, vlogs or videos that you shared on TikTok, and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks incredible. I think it must have been Navy's birth. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about it, and also about Gray's birth as well. So why don't we start with what the journey to pregnancy was like for you and Scott the first time around?
Okay. So Scott and I hadn't been together that long, but we realized pretty quickly that we were on the same page, and we're pretty excited to start a wee family together. We weren't sure if we wanted to get married first or have a baby. So that decision was made for us. Mm. I came off the pill and I waited a few months to let my body kind of get back into sync so I could properly track my periods, etc. I started logging them using the, I think the app's called Flow. And then I started to watch my ovulation, which was really handy. I can actually pinpoint the exact date that we got pregnant, which is like, oh my gosh. But we had gone out to Elephant Wrestler for dinner with our family, and we honestly ate like a disgusting amount of food. Like, I was embarrassed. And when we got home, I knew it was like the ovulation day. You know how there's like one really like the day that you're like, come on. So anyway, Scott was like, oh my God, nah, like, bro, we're not doing this. And I was like, it is happening. Like, I'm telling you for free. And I remember lying with my legs up afterwards being like, come on, like, please. But yeah, we were really like very fortunate to have an easy journey to pregnancy. And I don't take that for granted at all. Yeah. I'm so, so grateful because I know it's not like that for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. And I feel like I was like that with our first as well. Like, I knew the day that we got pregnant, and like, I feel like for the days after, I was like, I'm pregnant, I know it. Like,
yes, exactly. It's such a weird feeling. Hey,
yeah, amazing. Cool. And talk us through actually finding out that you're pregnant. So, did you just wait for your period to not come? Did you do an early test? How did you find out?
So it was Christmas 2019. What happened? So I arrived at my sister's house because she was hosting Christmas that year, and I got my period, but it was like the smallest amount, and I was like, weird, this isn't actually when my period's supposed to come. Anyway, turned out that that was implantation bleeding, which I'd never heard of, so I was just like, what? Anyway, I was down in Sungmatal with Scott's family, and my sister and her family had hired a batch for that like New Year's period, which was very exciting to have us all in one place. Obviously no one knew that I was pregnant, so we did a pregnancy test when I was in Sungmatal because my sister Dan was just like more on top of tracking my periods than me. So she was like, right, have you got your period? You got it on Christmas Day, like how long did it last for, blah blah blah. And I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot about that. It was just like a tiny little bleed, and then it weirdly stopped. Like, and she was like, right, like, get in the car, we're going to the we're going to the supermarket, we're getting a pregnancy test. Anyway, long story short, we tested in the Motown bathroom and it came back positive, and was such a like surreal experience. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, I got back to Scott's family's place where Scott was, and I was like, hey babe, do you want to go for a little beach walk with me? And he was like, no, it's like 5 o'clock, it's scorching hot, like dinner's almost ready, and no. And I was like, please. And then instantly he was just like, stop, really? And I was like, yeah, like, and pulled out the pregnancy test. And he was just like an absolute shock, like, oh my gosh. But yeah, we told both our families pretty much straight away, which was, it was going to be pretty tricky to hide when it was New Year's and we'd planned all of these like yummy cocktails. So, it was fun to tell everyone kind of all at once.
Yeah, amazing. It's so nice, I think, having like your families know with you from really early on. It's cool.
Yeah, totally. So much more support, hey.
Yeah, awesome. And how were you feeling? Like, did you have many pregnancy symptoms in your first trimester? Talk us through, the first 12 weeks.
With Gray, it was pretty smooth sailing. I felt really sick in the afternoons, which I thought was very odd. Mm. Like, around 3 o'clock, I was like, yuck, I feel like I'm going to spew. Like, I didn't really eat many dinners, but other than that, it was pretty cruisy, which I was, very grateful for.
Yeah, cool. And did you go with a midwife for your care, or what did you decide to do there?
Yes, I went with a midwife with both pregnancies.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very nice. And talk us through your pregnancy from there. So did you do all of the sort of standard testing that's offered in New Zealand, and how were you feeling once you got out of the first trimester? And yeah, what did the rest of your pregnancy look like?
I absolutely loved the second trimester. I felt like that glowing pregnant mum that they speak about, you know, in like fairy tales.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't have any symptoms. It was really fun to like track his growth, etc. Come the third trimester, I was just like so over it. I got really, really large quite quickly, and I had really bad like round ligament pain, and yeah, I was just really, really done. Yeah, in regards to the scans and tests, I did all the ones that you know, you're supposed to.
Yeah, cool. And was there anything that you found helpful for your round ligament pain? I remember that pain so like vividly as well. It was awful.
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly can't even think of what I did.
I don't think there's like, I know that like people wear those pregnancy belts and different things like that, but I think outside of that, there's probably like, there's not a lot else that they can do as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I went to a, like an not an osteopath, a chiropractor for when I was pregnant with Gray. And I also took Gray to her once he was born. Which I don't know whether that helped, but felt like it did something.
Yeah, cool. Nice. And did you find out the sex of your baby in pregnancy?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I found out. Yeah.
Did you want a boy or a girl? Oh my What's God, that? Tanya. Did you want like a boy or a girl? Did you have a preference?
Yeah, I really wanted a girl, and I would kick myself for saying that because I just couldn't be happier with my two boys. Like, it's just one of those, I don't know, you kind of like visualize yourself as a mum of whatever. And I was just convinced it was a girl, but it wasn't. And it's totally fine. I've got my two beautiful boys.
Do you remember feeling like disappointed at the time, or were you just like fine with it once you knew?
Oh, I was definitely disappointed. I think also with all of the pregnancy hormones and your body's just like, you know, really heightened with all emotions. I was very upset. just so sad to say out loud, but it's honestly so how I felt.
Yeah. I feel like that's actually a lot of people's realities, but it's so funny once you've got like your little baby in your arms, it's you don't even think about that again, but I can definitely understand it. Cool, awesome. And what about birth education and pregnancy? Did you do any antenatal classes or any other birth education that you found helpful?
No, I was an incredibly anxious pregnant person. I think like I was diagnosed with postnatal anxiety, but I think I was actually dealing with prenatal anxiety as well without having known. But I was pretty lucky because my sister was studying the midwifery at the time, and she's also a qualified antenatal teacher. So she came over a few times and gave us, you know, like the lowdown on the most important stuff, I guess. So that was really lucky.
Yeah, that's helpful for sure. Awesome. And what about your preferences for birth? Did you have any thoughts on how you wanted your birth to go? What were you thinking around where you wanted to do it? How did you figure all of that out?
I wanted to have a water birth at home, and I had done every form of preparation because I was so determined for that to happen. So we had the birth pool and all of that kind of setup going on, and that was my ideal birth situation.
That's so interesting, Sophie, because you said like you were feeling quite anxious in your pregnancy. Was it like your anxiety more related to like actually being pregnant and not so much about birth? Like how did you find, or how did you decide that a home birth was what you wanted at the time?
So I think my anxiety eased knowing that everything I could do myself and nobody could kind of touch my body unless, yeah, which I know obviously in a hospital you also have that, but anyway, that's how my brain worked
I
at
get
that
it.
stage. Yeah.
Fair enough. Awesome. And talk us through the sort of end of your pregnancy. How were you feeling in the final couple of weeks? And were you doing anything to try and like bring your baby on? Were you antenatal expressing, raspberry leaf tea, doing the dates? Like, yeah, what were you up to in the end of your
Oh,
pregnancy?
yeah. I was grouchy and I was super over having a baby inside of me. So I was doing, you name it. I was curb walking, doing raspberry leaf tea, the dates. Yeah. I also, another thing that I used, which I genuinely believe works, is the Epino. I think that's how you
Oh
pronounce
yes,
it.
I used that too. I used an Epino.
Yeah, so I only did that with Gray's birth because obviously I'd never pushed a baby out. So I was like, okay, this is going to help me. And it was a very interesting experience, I can say that much. But I do think that it helped.
Awesome. Cool. And take us through like your labor starting. Was it spontaneous? And then into your labor and birth story.
Okay, exciting. So Grayson's labor was long and hard. As you know, I had planned a home water birth, so I had everything prepared and I went through what I thought was early labor in the very early hours of the morning. It was the day of his due date, so I was really excited. I was like, yes, this is gonna be it. Like, he's gonna be born on the due date, like clockwork, you know. Anyway, I labored at home for 24 hours, maybe longer. My midwife was coming and going and checking how I was going. My sister and Scott stayed the whole time, which was amazing, and they just slept when they could because it was obviously a very long time. But I again was very determined to birth at home. Anyway, things started to rev up and I got some pains in like a different location, so like more back pains. And I was like, okay, cool. My midwife was like, well, like it looks like things have changed. Let's get you into the pool and we'll just wait and see if you start to feel a pushing sensation. And I obviously had never given birth before, so I wasn't really sure what I was feeling, but I knew that something had changed. And I was trying really hard to listen to my body. Yeah, nothing really happened when I jumped in the birth pool, and I was just in so much pain. It was indescribable. I was using my TENS machine, obviously, before the birth pool. Then my midwife checked me, and I was just so incredibly disappointed because I was only 3 centimeters along when she checked me, so nowhere near ready for pushing. I got super frustrated and kind of lost all of my calm vibes. And it turns out what had happened is Grayson had actually gone from being in a really good position to turning posterior, which I just wasn't aware that that was something that could happen. Yeah, I guess that explains why I was feeling a different sensation and it went from being in my belly to being a really hard back labor, which I thought was like maybe the feeling of pushing, but it definitely wasn't. Yeah, so it had been close to 24 hours by that stage. I was like super mad and I decided that I wanted to go to the hospital, and so we all got in the car. Yeah, when we arrived, I started on the gas and air, which I sucked the life out of. I was like, come at me. They then decided to put me on the drip, that drip,
Syntocinon?
Yes, that one's in Tosinin, to speed things along. And I requested an epidural soon after this because it was really sore and I was just incredibly tired. So it took around 5 hours before I was fully dilated and he had rotated into a better position for birth, before I was ready to, start pushing. I pushed for over 2 hours, and then he was here in my arms. It was an absolute whirlwind of emotions, but I was really grateful for a vaginal birth.
And do you remember feeling like, oh my God, because I had a sort of similar end to my second birth where I pushed for like close to 2 hours as well, which is such a freaking long time when you're trying to push a baby out.
Oh, I know.
Do you remember afterwards, like, did they pop them straight up onto your chest? What sort of happened next?
Yes. So they definitely popped him. So my sister caught him, which was that was like our dream. And he was popped straight up onto my chest, which was amazing. They did press the like the nurses pressed the emergency button, because they thought I was hemorrhaging, but it was just a false alarm and it was totally fine. Thank goodness. Yeah, the rest was literally just a total blur. I just remember being so happy that he was in my arms finally.
Amazing. And did you need many stitches at all?
I can't remember how many, but I needed like them in two places. That definitely wasn't, maybe it was like a secondary degree tear, but it definitely wasn't, anything more than
Too
that.
bad. Awesome. Cool. And how did you find like the next couple of hours after that? You sort of like you've just had a massive labor, like a really long early labor and then a really long pushing stage as well. So how are you feeling? What sort of happened after that first moment of giving birth? And talk us through the next couple of hours.
I like breastfed pretty soon after that. And then they obviously did all the checks on Gray and I got stitched up. That just felt, like a total blur. I stayed overnight in hospital that night. So because I had a catheter put in, I think you have to have that with an epidural. I'm not too sure. Maybe
Yes,
not.
you do.
Okay, cool, great. So I stayed overnight, and I do remember because everyone was so exhausted, they all kind of left quite quickly. I mean, fair enough, they'd been awake for a really, really long time. But yeah, I remember I stayed overnight in the hospital, and Gray was a COVID baby, so the nurses couldn't really help me. Like at all, because everyone was being very cautious. I was so tired because I'd been awake for over 2 days, and by this point I was just so delirious. I stayed awake all night because I was too scared to fall asleep with him in my arms. But every time I put him in his bassinet, he'd just scream. So I was just like, oh my God, what is happening? Like so tired,
Oh, I can so relate to that feeling, and it's so, I feel like even in COVID times, just like amplified because you don't have like the option or as much of an option to get like support from nurses and midwives just easily coming into your room, and like it's all crazy in the hospital. So
Yeah,
can
so weird. Such a weird thing to give birth through, hey?
For sure. And how did you find like the next couple of days? Did you go straight home? What sort of happened next?
So the following day, I got discharged around, I think it was like midday, when I went straight home. So I didn't go to a birthing center. I just went straight home. My sister was coming to stay with us, so she did all of our meals and helped with Gray through the night and let me sleep, when Gray was sleeping, which was just such a magical experience. I couldn't have been more grateful. Yeah, she stayed for around 3 days, and yeah, Scott and I really didn't want her to leave by the end of it. We were like, please don't go.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was also really amazing, because I'd let visitors come quite early on because I was just so excited to share my baby with everyone. But my sister was just so amazing at kind of picking up on the cues when Gray was overstimulated or I was just like overwhelmed, and she'd just, you know, subtly usher people out, which was just, so great.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. And how did you find like the adjustment to motherhood and learning to breastfeed and recovering from birth? Like, there's just so much going on in that period of time, and you're a new mum as well, so it's all completely new. So talk us through the next few days and weeks as a new mum.
Okay. After Gray's birth, I definitely got the baby blues. I just couldn't wrap my head around how I could be awake for 2 days and then have this tiny wee bubba who woke up constantly. I was exclusively breastfeeding, so I was just beyond tired. Becoming a new mum had just already taken its toll, and it had only been like, 3 days. I do remember Grayson was so much happier once my milk came in. Like, he was obviously hungry, and I know that that's very normal for them to just like basically yell at your breast like, what is going on? But I remember once it came in, he just turned into this like milk drunk baby that was just so happy. But I wish that, I don't know, becoming a new mum and the toll that it takes on every part of your like emotional and physical well-being was kind of spoken about more or more normalized, because it's just I guess it's so much more common than you think, you know, to be feeling like so sad, but in amongst that really overly happy. It's just such a weird thing to describe.
It's such an overwhelming like contrast of emotions, and if you're sort of experiencing the baby blues and then potentially some postpartum anxiety, which I know that you talked about a little bit earlier as well, and they're like, there's just a lot going on. How did you eventually end up with a postpartum anxiety diagnosis?
So it took until Gray was 6 months when I actually went to go and see a doctor, because I was like, okay, I remember talking to my sister and being like, I can't sleep at night because I'm literally just watching Gray. I don't, like, I feel so worried that something's going to happen to him. And I, like, even when he was sleeping, I wasn't sleeping because I was just so anxious to the point of, that's not normal. Anyway, so I went to the doctor and he was like, yep, that sounds like postnatal anxiety. Like, we can either try the natural route first and then see how we go. And I was like, I felt like that was the best thing to do. So I took all the natural, you know, supplements and stuff, and which I can't even remember what those are, but like vitamin B, I think. Anyway, I did all the things and it did not work. So I ended up starting on antidepressants. It took quite a long time to find the right one, like the one that worked best for my body with very little symptoms or side effects. But I've been on sertraline ever since, and oh my God, absolute game changer. Oh my goodness.
Did you feel like once you found the right one, like how did it change your like mothering, like your journey as a mum?
I felt like a release inside my body, and I could finally relax and enjoy motherhood and really take my time to soak up all of the cute little things rather than being like, oh my God, another day, like send help.
I think it's like that feeling of like dread, and that I've had quite a few mums on the podcast that could have either had postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, and that feeling of dread of like the next day or the next feed or like the next wake up. I think it's really important for people to hear that you found the right medication that helped you to stop feeling that way. Like, you don't have to suffer
Totally. Right, I just, yeah, I think that's why, like, on my TikTok, I try and talk about it as much as I can, because I feel like it just needs to be out there. Like, people need to know that it is so normal to feel like that, and there are solutions. And it doesn't have to be that you take medication, you know, like there are.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So many other ways that you can do it, and there's nothing wrong with taking medication if that's what your body needs.
Amazing. Cool. And so what about your physical recovery from birth? Did you find that all went okay?
Yeah, it went okay. I was far too scared to look down there with both. It's like, you know, people are like, just grab a mirror and have a look, you know, and I'm like, yeah, no, like, no. Absolutely no way. I mean, everything healed just fine and it was all good, but I was very much pretending like that didn't happen. It wasn't a part of my body.
Oh, that's good. Awesome. And obviously we know that you've got little Navy now too. So do you want to take us through the journey to pregnancy the second time around? And was it like a conscious thing that you decided to do, or like me, was it a happy surprise to pass through your second pregnancy?
With Navy, we definitely knew that we wanted to have like around a 2.5 to 3 year age gap between the boys. So the hope was that we would get pregnant as easily as we did with Gray, and that happened, which we're again so incredibly grateful for. But yeah, it happened quickly, and yeah, there wasn't really a surprise. It was like, okay, cool, it's happening. Awesome.
Cool. And so take us through finding out that you're pregnant the second time.
I remember I was just at home and my sister and niece were coming over, and I don't even think I was due for my period, but I was like almost, and Dan was just like, my sister was just like, yeah, okay, let's just do one, like, you never know, like, come on. So I was like, okay, whatever, did one, and was like the faintest line. Like, I was like, that is not a line. And my sister was like, yeah, no, it is. It's a line. And I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, we obviously tested again in a few days and my period didn't come. I didn't get the implantation bleeding like I did with Gray. But yeah, that's how we found out.
Yeah, amazing. And how were you feeling this time around? Did you have much of a different pregnancy to your first time?
Yeah, it was very different. I was so nauseous with Navy right from the very start, all the way through until probably halfway through the second trimester, just all day, every day. Like, I took on Danzatron, I think that's what it's called. Daily, I had like nausea, calm, you name it. I wore the wristbands. I was like, I was just incredibly grateful that I wasn't working. Like, obviously I had Grayson, but if I had to work and be in front of students teaching, I just honestly, I don't think I could have done it. So I was grateful that it was Navy's pregnancy, where I was feeling terrible.
Yeah, for sure. And did you find out the sex in this pregnancy too? Did you want a girl this time, or were you like happy either way?
I wanted a girl again. But it was our little Navy boy. With Navy, I had a midwife again, and I did all the usual tests Yeah, so I got the NIPT test, which I got to basically kind of ease my anxiety, which obviously I was on medication for, but it definitely was still a part of my life.
Yeah, and just before you go on, Sophie, were you still taking your medication in your pregnancy?
Yes.
Yeah,
So,
perfect.
yeah, my doctor at the time, I told him that I wanted to start trying for a baby. So he kind of made sure that I was on one that was safe to keep taking while you're pregnant. Yeah, so I got the NIPT test, and yeah, I just wanted to be kind of prepared for
Yeah.
whatever we needed to be prepared for.
Cool. And how were you feeling about birth this time around? Like, obviously, you had thought about wanting a home birth and a water birth last time and ended up in the hospital. So how did you go about, what you wanted from your birth this time around?
Yeah, this time round, I was keen to be at the hospital. I was like, okay, cool, this is the place that I'm gonna be. Like, I wanted the option to still have an epidural, to have the gas and air, but my main goal was I wanted a vaginal birth, and I like my ultimate was to my ultimate goal was to have a water birth, which I desperately wanted with Gray, but unfortunately, it didn't work out. So yeah, that was my like, okay, this might be your last baby. So yeah, try and make it what you want.
Yeah, awesome. And did you do anything different in terms of birth education this time around?
Yeah, so I did do your birth project, which I found so incredible with all of the hypnobirthing stuff. Like, again, as you know, I was too anxious to go to any classes, so I was like so on board when I saw your birth project, and I could do it online. I found it super helpful. I loved your calming voice and the way that you explained certain things. Yeah, it kind of felt like we were on a FaceTime with each other. So, like,
Yes.
weirdly, I feel like I know you quite well, Jordan.
Yes. Love that.
Yeah, but I couldn't recommend that more. I felt very prepared for every type of birth, which I loved, and the breathing techniques were amazing. So I think I used all of that knowledge for Navy's birth, and it worked an absolute treat because, yeah, everything kind of went to plan. And I love how you empower us to believe that we can, have the birth that we want. Like, I really love that kind of a mindset. So yeah, I really held on to that with Navy's birth.
Yeah, amazing. Very cool. And what about the end of Navy's pregnancy? So were you doing anything to try and prepare for labor and birth? Were you doing any antenatal expressing or any of those things this time around?
Oh yeah, I expressed colostrum like a lot because I didn't really understand how it was all going to work with Gray. I guess I just was like mind blown that like milk could even come out of my breasts. So this time around with Navy, I was like, yep, it's happening. Like, I had the breast pump on, you name it, and I know you're not supposed to. You're supposed to, hand express, but I was like, this is coming out, okay? So yeah, maybe not advice, but that's what I did. Yeah, what else did I do? I definitely like I had the raspberry leaf tea. I actually had some like capsules that I took
Oh,
because I didn't
yeah.
like the taste of the tea. I ate the dates, I ate the pineapple. Yeah, you name it, I did it.
Yeah, amazing. Cool and exciting part. So
Yes.
take us through your labor and birth story. How far along were you? Did your labor start spontaneously? And yeah, can't wait to hear it.
Okay, fun. So I was 40, no, I wasn't. I was 39 weeks, 5 days. So 2 days before his due date, and it was completely spontaneous. I remember, yeah, I was woken up in the middle of the night around like maybe 2 a.m. with mild cramps, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I think this is it. This time around, obviously I knew it was very early stages of labor. So I tried my absolute hardest to go back to sleep, but I was just too excited to meet this little human, so I just laid in my bed wide awake. At around 4 a.m. I woke Scott up because I was like, oh, like it's getting like a little bit sore, and he popped the TENS machine on my back for me. So that was like such a relief. I just couldn't recommend the TENS machine anymore. It just helped me through so incredibly much. So I managed to like not necessarily sleep, but I could just rest for that time. At about 5 a.m. I called my birth supports, which were my sister again, and this time my niece Pearl. Pearl is how old? 18. And she wanted to come along, and I was like, you can. She was just absolutely incredible. So they came over around 6:30 a.m. and I was having contractions, but like breathing through them, I was fine. We got Gray up and ready for kindy, so I was fine to like do all of the things, carry on. He was just like completely over the moon that his favorite people were in our house first thing in the morning. You can imagine, pure joy. Scott then took Gray to kindy, and at that stage my body really started to kick off. It was like, I guess my body kind of knew that it was like all clear, Gray was sorted and was good to go. Which I also find completely amazing. Like, what? How does your body even know that? I'd organized for my oldest sister to collect Gray after kindy, so I was like fully relaxed. I knew that like he was totally sorted. But things really started to kind of like vamp up. I was jumping in and out of the shower, also using my TENS machine. By the time Scott got back, I was 100% in active labor. So this would have been probably around 9 a.m. We called my birth photographer, Georgia, who, oh my goodness, she is just beyond incredible. I remember my sister being like, okay, if you want makeup and your hair done, like for this birth, like, get it on you now, like quick. And I was like, okay. My TikTok, there's a video of me like on the ground doing my makeup in between contractions, which is quite funny, because I was like, right, like there's a photographer coming, like you've got to look somewhat put together, come on. So 10 a.m. I was like in so much pain, breathing through the contractions and using all the techniques that I'd learned on your birth project. My midwife arrived. She literally didn't even check me. She's just like, right, let's get in the car. We've got to go. She just kind of knew by my state, which was great. And I transitioned in the car. So driving to the hospital.
Oh, no, Sophie.
Honestly, Jordan, like, I can't even describe it. Like, it's just like the worst place to transition. But anyway, it's totally fine. It was absolute hell, but, you know, it was all worth it. When we arrived at the hospital, I was checked and fully dilated. They'd started running the birth pool before I had arrived, so that was fabulous. I could jump in straight away. That was around 11:15. I waited for quite a long time because I wanted to feel the sensation of pushing, but I didn't really feel anything, which I was like, okay. But it got to the stage where my midwife was like, okay, well, I guess like we might get you to jump out of the pool and you can just, you know, walk the hallways for a little bit because it might just spur things along. And I was like, nah. Absolutely not. I am not getting out of this pool. Like, I'm making this happen. So I did a few pushes, like, when I was contracting without any urge, but I was like, come on, Sophie. Like, we knew he was in a good position and I was fully dilated, so I knew it was, you know, safe, etc. After a few pushes, my waters burst, which was like the most crazy sensation. I can't even describe it, but yeah, they basically just popped in the pool, and it just went like the loudest kind of pop. It wasn't a pop, but I can't describe it. It was just like, oh my goodness, such a crazy feeling. I pushed for around 5 minutes, which was such a contrast to pushing for over 2 hours with Gray. The ring of fire was, oh my goodness, like something else. With Grayson, obviously had the epidural, so that was my first time feeling that. Navy arrived around 10 past 12. My sister caught him again, which was so special. Yeah, he came straight up onto my chest, and it was magical. My positive birth story. Thank goodness.
I feel like I can picture it, Sophie, because I've seen the videos and like the pictures, and it just looks like the most incredible, incredible birth. And you look so happy as well. Like, it's so nice, nice to hear about
it. Yeah, I was so happy. It was just exactly what I had envisioned.
Yeah, amazing. And I actually think I remember you posting a video, and it was like the moments after giving birth, and I think you were getting out of the birth pool. So do you want to talk us through that, like that memory, or like that feeling of like you've had your baby and you sort of feel like, okay, I need to get up now and like get out of the pool and do all that stuff. But yeah, talk us through that.
Yeah, for sure. So I had birthed the placenta as well in the pool. And then we'd obviously, waited a little bit before. In fact, no, I think we kept the placenta attached. And Scott took Navy through to our hospital room, which was literally just across the hallway. My niece and my midwife helped me to get up. And it's just such a surreal, like a weird feeling. It almost feels like everything's going to fall out, but it doesn't. But also it's just so weird. I guess the point I was trying to get across in that video is that so often the babe, of course, your tiny wee baby is celebrated, and you know, everyone's so excited to meet it and it's incredible, but often, you know, no one talks about what happens to the mums straight after. You know, it's scary. Like, I mean, it's incredible. You've done it. You have such a sense of satisfaction, and you feel so proud, but your whole body like is shaking. And I didn't really realize how much help I would need to actually stand and get out of the pool.
It's quite different too, right? Because you had an epidural the first time around, like you can't actually get up and do those things straight away after your birth, whereas when you've had no medication, you can do those things, but your body's experiencing like such a different release of hormones at that time, and like it's totally different.
So different. It's a completely different experience to having an epidural where you can't get up and you're just like, you don't really feel too much, it's fine.
Amazing. And did you need any stitches after Navy's birth?
Yes, I did. I had a few grazes, but they were kind of in lots of different places. So it wasn't necessarily like one big tear. It was just like lots of little grazes, which meant that I needed quite a lot of numbing, which I found excruciating, I guess, because
it's the worst part.
Honestly, I was like, cool, it's done, it's over with, like no worries. Anyway, I guess because all of your endorphins and your adrenaline has totally worn off, it's just so much more painful. But yeah, not pleasant, but it's totally fine.
Awesome. And take us through the next sort of day or so with Navy. Did you stay in the hospital, or what did you do next?
So they monitored me for a few hours in the hospital, which was fine. We were literally waiting for discharge longer than we were in the hospital having a baby. So they were super busy on the wards, which I totally understand. But we were home by 4 p.m. So yeah, he was born at 10 past 12. So 4 hours later, went home, and we did the same thing with my sister coming to stay. I guess it was really nice because I had Gray staying with my oldest sister and her boys, and she would bring Gray to visit each day, and it felt like Gray was still a really big part of it, but I don't know, have to deal with all of the other stuff that comes with having a toddler.
Yes.
So that was really, really lovely for the first two nights that we were home. And then, he came back and we got right into becoming a family of four.
Yeah, amazing. And how did he go, like, meeting Navy? Do you think he got, like, what was going on? Yeah, talk us through them.
He was so incredibly cute. I just remember him, like, lifting up my top and being like, Mama, like, no baby. And, like, he's just, like, pointing at Navy. And we really didn't think he was going to understand, because it would have been, like, yeah, 2.5. And, he really got it. And it was, very, very sweet.
Very cute. Amazing. And what about your postpartum, like, initial postpartum period this time around? How did you go with breastfeeding, and what was your mental health like this time?
Yeah, my mental health was definitely much better this time round. I think knowing what to expect, as well as, I guess, having a little more knowledge around breastfeeding, and also not jumping at every single little peep that they make. Like, you kind of, I guess, second time round, you're like, okay, I know that they're fine. Like, if they have a tiny little cry, they're okay, you know. Like, when you've got a toddler to deal with, it's like, oh my gosh, like, you definitely kind of have to split your time. And I think that really helped me with becoming a mum again with Navy. So I absolutely loved breastfeeding, like, so much with both babies. It was super positive. I felt such a connection with my boys through breastfeeding. I did find it really tricky because both boys only liked one breast. So it was like they just had, like, a preferred breast over the other one. I guess it might have something to do with the flow or something. I'm not too sure. But Grayson would still take both, which was great. Navy outright refused the other breast. Like, I was very lopsided. And it also meant that the breast that he liked didn't ever get a break. And it just became so incredibly sore over time. So, our breastfeeding journey was definitely cut shorter than what I would have liked. But that was, I guess, a decision that I made that was going to help my mental health, because I was just, not coping with him feeding from just one side.
Fair enough. And how are you feeling now? Like, you've obviously had quite a different, like, birth experience, and you've got medication that's, like, helping with your anxiety, which took about 6 months to get the first time around. So how have you found the experience of adjusting to being a mum of two? And do you still feel, like, those anxious feelings, or has it been totally different this time?
I still definitely feel those anxious feelings, but it's definitely nowhere near as severe. Like, if I compare it to when Gray was first born and I was having, like, proper nightmares and freaking out about, you know, things that were so unlikely to happen, compared to now, I'm like a much more relaxed mum, which I think has benefited my boys so much, and Scott, you know, having a partner who is much more chill is a lot nicer to be around. Yeah, I think becoming a mum of two has so many perks and it's so incredible, but we did deal with, and we're still dealing with, quite a lot of perhaps jealousy from Gray. So he has been doing like lots of hitting or like hurting Navy, which I have found so incredibly difficult. So I've been doing lots of research and kind of learning around that happening. Again, I think that's something that should be spoken about so much more too, because it's so common, but there's not it's not really spoken about, and it's so, so normal. And I think what I found helpful is like speaking to Navy like I do to Gray. So I'm like, Navy, it sounds really silly to say out loud, but I literally talk to Navy like he's a toddler, like, Navy, it's not your turn to blah, blah, blah. Like, you're going to have to wait your turn because Grayson's been waiting a long time. Just like silly things like that, which have worked, thank goodness. And yeah, I think just having like one-on-one time with Gray has become like something that has definitely helped that bond.
Yeah, I remember, like, we're still similar, like, I've got toddlers now, not babies, but like that, I found that really triggering, the older child hurting the younger child. Like, I had to really do some of my own like work try not to feel so triggered by that. But we did something, we did really similar sort of techniques. We prioritized one-on-one time with our oldest, like, as much as possible, and made sure that he had like special time in the day that was just for him. And then we use the same technique around talking to the baby like he's a toddler, like, sorry Ali, but you know, Jai's really hungry right now, so you're just gonna have to wait until he's got his food so I can feed you, you know, like little things like that, where they feel prioritize, because it's such a huge change in their little lives.
And I know, it really is.
They go from being like the only one to then all of a sudden like having all of the attention on the baby, which is like natural and normal, but so
tricky for the baby.
Totally.
I think also remembering that like Gray's only three, he's still still so little himself. I think when you have a younger child, you kind of like look to the older one like they're so much more grown up, but in reality they're still so little, like they can't regulate their own emotions, and they don't know what to do with their little bodies when they're feeling a certain way. So I think kind of educating myself around a toddler's brain development has been very helpful, and made me feel like, I guess, I'm not on my own, and there's nothing wrong with Gray, he's just having a hard time processing his emotions, which is all normal.
100%. I have to remind myself, and like I'm always find myself reminding my husband that like Jai's only four, like he's not a primary school kid that's like, you know, learning a lot about his emotions and how to deal with them. He's a four-year-old, and he is like, okay, it's okay if he loses his shit. You know, like we just have to like help him to have strategies with like when he's feeling that way to start to learn like what he can do to help himself feel better, you know. And like I feel like I'm constantly having that conversation with myself, like he is not a grown-up, he's a baby. He's still a baby.
I know, you just you have to keep reminding yourself. I think when they start to do things that feel like they're more grown up, you're like, all right, come on, like pull it together. But in your head you're like, okay, no, like they're allowed to share their emotions and they don't know how to deal with it, so
for sure
give them space, support them, blah blah blah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sophie, for coming on the podcast and sharing your stories with us. I've really loved talking to you. I love following you on social media, and I know that there'll be lots of people who really love your episodes. So, yeah, super grateful that you were willing to come on and share your story with us today.
Oh, thanks so much, Jordan, and thank you for making me feel so comfortable. It definitely actually felt like I was on the phone to a girlfriend. So thank you for being so warm and welcoming. I also love watching all of your TikToks and following you on Instagram. I think you're amazing, and what you're doing is just so incredible to helping new mums. Mums that have been mums for ages, because hi. But yeah, I really appreciate what you do, and
Oh, thank you.
yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales with Sophie. I hope you've loved it. I'll make sure I share the links where to find Sophie on social media if you want to go and check her out. Otherwise, I'll be back with another birth story episode next week. So make sure you hit subscribe and I will see you here same time, same place. Talk soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.